The fallout from the years-long federal corruption probe continues for the United Auto Workers Union. On Wednesday, former UAW Vice President Jack Ashton admitted, yes, he is guilty of rigging a $4 million contract and pocketing $250,000 in kickbacks. And as a federal prosecutor gives signs the reforms announced by acting President Roy Gamble might be too little too late, there is fresh news from Solidarity House. Detroit News business columnist Daniel House, what is that news?
The International Executive Board, which is the kind of the governing council of the union, just named Roy Gamble permanent president to fill out the unexpired term of Gary Jones, who resigned before they could throw him out of the union.
So it seems a vote of confidence from the top union leaders to what Rory Gamble's been doing in his few weeks.
I think that's right. I think Rory was also, I think he's a bridge. He's a compromise candidate. He is someone who's 64 years old. By their tradition and their constitution, he cannot run for a full term as president in 2022. So I think by definition, he is a bridge, and I think he's trying to take some what he perceives to be pretty aggressive actions. My colleague Rob Snell and I at the Detroit News last week had a sit-down with an exclusive sit-down with the U.S. Attorney Matthew Schneider to talk about this whole situation, and I think he wanted to use that on-the-record interview to send a very clear message to the UAW leadership that they're not cooperating enough. At one point in the interview, he waived the Article 30 paper, which is the internal paper that the union had put together to oust Gary Jones as president, and said, if they're cooperating, why the first time that we're seeing about some of these charges and there were criminal acts alleged here, are we seeing it in news accounts? They haven't come and talked to us. And he reiterated the need for full cooperation and essentially solicited calls from members and others who have seen what they perceive to be some misdeeds on the part of the UAW to contact the U.S. Attorney's Office or the FBI.
It's certainly, from reading that piece in the news from Rob Snell, it certainly seems that the U.S. Attorney is especially steamed about that contrast between members making $250 a week in strike pay and the expensive living that the feds accuse top leaders of doing.
That's exactly right. Rob and I, in several stories, have pointed that out, that that one golf club would be equivalent to a week's strike pay for two striking UAW GM workers in the recent GM strike. The contrast is shocking. I think if you look more deeply at some, and I think some of us are becoming somewhat inured to some of this. And as we've kind of taken a step back here near the end of the year to kind of look at the expanse of what's going on here, this was a nationwide thing. I don't know that you would call it a network so much as that it was interconnected, but it was going on from the East Coast to Detroit to Black Lake to St. Louis to the California coast, and it was all going on at the same time. The one thing that was the clear connector among all of that corruption were three letters, UAW. And you see this time and time again. The other thing that's very interesting is that Gary Jones, the previous president, was at the center of a lot of this stuff, particularly the stuff from St. Louis out to California. And it was the California conferences and the money that they spent out there that was dues money, essentially, buying really high-end booze, cigars, poolside villas in which some people would stay, not for the 3 or 5 days of the conference, but for 30 or 45 days on essentially member dues.
So as for that sword of Damocles hanging over the head of the union being the idea of federal oversight, what did the attorney have to say?
Well, I think he, and I was the lead of, well, I think our story at the time is that that's still very much a possibility. He said, you know, we have to get through this investigation, we have to conclude it, and then we'll decide what we might do. I think a lot of that is really going to depend on what Rory Gamble and his leadership team now does going forward. Okay, they're removing the acting from his name. And I've been thinking a little bit about this, and I thought back to 2014 when Mary Barra comes in as CEO of General Motors, and within weeks, the airbag thing explodes on them, no pun intended.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're having a crisis of the highest order. They brought in an independent investigator, a law firm from Chicago, did an independent investigation. They get this big fat report. What does she do? She has a town hall that they invite the media to listen in on in real time. And she just lambastes the company and the culture. And I had been covering General Motors at that time for 25 years all over the world, and I had never heard a CEO of General Motors talk like this. certainly not in a way in public. And I mean, I think this is kind of what the UAW is facing here, which is there is a whole crust of rot that is in there that they have got to excise if they want to move on and remain a viable labor institution in the United States.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Daniel, thank you.
You bet.